God's Word this morning. All right. Father God, Lord, we're thankful for this fall day. It's a crisp and cold day, and this is the day that you have made. And so, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would encourage us to keep on walking, to go the distance. There may be some in here who are experiencing some trials, be in the midst of trial right now. There may be some in here who, are just really questioning or doubting or just or are in distraction now. So I pray that you help us to focus. I pray that your Spirit would touch us in some small way this morning. Lord, we know that you're in this room right now. Your Spirit lives in us. And this is the word you inspired Paul to write to Timothy. So we know that these are important words, an important encouragement. So, Father, I pray that you move in us. Spirit, move in us this morning. It's in Jesus' name. So once upon a time, there was this farmer, right? This is like harvest season, right? And for every harvest, there was a planting. And so, once upon a time, there was a farmer who went out and he scattered seed, right? And so, when he scattered seed, it fell on different soils. Once he threw some seed and it fell on a path, right? And the birds came to the path and ate up the seed right away, so it never sprouted up. Some other seed fell on rocky soil. And so, what happens in the rocky soil is that it's got lots of clumps in it. The soil is very thin. So the seed goes into the soil, and it actually springs up really fast. In fact, one time we had on our porch, back when I lived in Iowa, we ate some watermelon on our back patio. And there was a little crack in our patio, and watermelon seed fell in there, and we had like watermelon coming out of our patio. It was really kind of cool, but didn't really survive well because it didn't have any roots. So it was the same thing with the rocky soil. Farmer threw it out, fell into rocky soil, didn't have any roots, so it sprung up quickly, but then when the sun came out, it kind of withered away. Okay. Then other seed fell among the thorns, and so when you have seed growing among the thorns, the seed starts growing, but also the thorns do too. And so they grow up together. And sometimes when you have a lot of thorns, it squishes out the life of the plant. And then the plant dies because the thorns take over. So it doesn't bear any grain. And then the farmer threw out some other seed, and it fell on fertile soil, great soil. And it produced 30, 60, and even 100 times the amount, right? You guys know this story. Some of you really, you've heard this story many, many times. Jesus said, those who have ears, after he told this parable, he said, those who have ears, let them hear, all right? And so you guys know this story, and Jesus told this story to talk about the level of commitment that it takes to continue to walk with him, to follow him. He wanted to have people think about that level of commitment from them, okay? Because Jesus didn't want people to be like the rocky soil or like the thorny soil who started out really strong, starts out strong, they spring up. The first soil never even got a chance, right? So they can't really count that one because the birds came and ate it. It never really even got a chance. But the second two soils, actually, they began to grow. But then didn't last and didn't produce a crop. And Jesus doesn't want us to be those who start out strong but then fade away, right? And I don't know, in this sense, this parable, the parable that I just told is kind of a sobering one, because I'm telling you guys, in the church this morning, like this ministry and Chinese ministry, like the church, and there's four churches that line up here. In the churches this morning, there are probably all four soils are represented in the church. You know, so it's kind of like sobering in the sense that, like, yeah, like, even today, as we sit here, there are some that are, you know, that are like one of these soils. Every soil is represented here. And I'm telling you, I've ministered now for about 12 years between Chicago and here Detroit. And throughout the 12 years, I've seen pretty much all the different soils. You know, I've seen some, like, I just went back again. I shared with you guys, I went back to Chicago, to Wisconsin, to minister my old church, and you know, it's really cool. I've seen some who are like caught on with the Lord, and just started walking. Was excited in the beginning, and continued to walk. That excitement wasn't always like just this amazing thing, but they just continued to track and walk in the Lord, continue to grow and mature, and it's like, oh yeah, so awesome. And even beyond that, some go out, you know, keep going out, some become missionaries, some become going to you know, seminary and stuff like that. So it's really exciting. But then on the other hand, there are some, you know, there are some on the other side of it who, you know, like, man, started out really excited for the Lord, very excited for the Lord. And, you know, every once in a while, I'll see them on Facebook or hear about, you know, and they just, whatever happened to this person or that person? And it's not that they're even going to another church. It's not that they've, like, said, okay, well, we want to continue with the Lord. We're just going to worship with this community. They just have kind of faded away from following Jesus Christ. And so what happens is that a lot of times people get caught up in the worries of the world and the distractions of the world, and the pressure comes in, and people eventually just stop walking with Jesus, right? And so the question for you guys this morning is what makes you think that you're different than any of those whom have succumbed to the rocky soil, or the shallow soil, or the thorny soil? What makes you think that you will go the distance, go the long haul with Jesus in the end? Right? Because think about it, is that every one of the soils, or most, all, at least three of the soils, were sitting in church just like you at one point. You know, everyone, there's a lot of people that started here and they were sitting just like you. And even serving sometimes, even serving. But if you look at them now, it's like, man, what, you know, what happened? And I know, because I know that there's God's grace, and I know that, like, there's times when people will walk, and God's like, I still have you, you're still mine. I'm not going to let you go. But there are other times when it's like, oh, they never came back. They chose to live a totally different life away from the Lord. So, what sort of soil will time show you to be, guys? It's a kind of a sobering passage. And the message that that Paul wrote to Timothy is encouraging him to go, Timothy, I want you in for the long haul. I want you to be walking and continue to serving and continue to walk with Jesus for not the short term, but for the long haul. And so if you guys look with me at verse chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, the first verse pretty much sums up the entire chapter 2. Okay? The first verse basically is the message for today and the message of chapter 2. It says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that it is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Last week, for those of you who weren't here, just to kind of remember, Paul urged Timothy to do three things, okay? He said to Timothy, I want you to stay loyal to the Lord. I want you to stay loyal to me, Paul. And I want you to stay loyal to the ministry that's been given to you, Timothy. And so this week, this morning, as we look at it, those three things of staying loyal to God, staying loyal to me, Paul, staying loyal to the ministry. This week, Paul is telling Timothy, you want to stay loyal to Jesus, you want to stay loyal to the ministry that you've been called to do, this is how you do it. And what Paul does is he gives Timothy six images, actually. We're going to go through three of them this week, but he gives him six images of, like, Timothy, think of these three this morning, these three images, because I want you to have these in your head so that your walk with Jesus, your ministry that he has given to you, will go the distance. Will go the distance, okay? And so here's the six images that we're going to go for the next couple of weeks, this week and next week. One of a soldier, an athlete, a farmer, a workman, a vessel or an instrument, and a servant, okay? And Paul says if you take these six images and you roll them together, and if you consider each one of these will help you go the distance so that in the end, God will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have stayed with me. You have carried out the ministry that I have given to you, okay? So we're going to look at three of them today. So here's the reminder again, because it's always, always important. I've shared this with you a couple of times, but here's why Paul is writing to Timothy. Michelle, turn on the lights, and now you guys can't see. Here's where Paul is at. This is where he stayed, and this is his last stop, you guys. I shared with you that he understands that this is his last letter that he will ever write to anyone. He knows that he is going to not make it out of here, and so you can actually go to the prison where they think that Paul stayed. It's in Rome, and you can go and you can visit it. You can go inside. You can't see it. There's like these bar fences here, and those weren't there obviously when Paul was staying there. And of course, the sign that says this is where Paul is at, isn't that? But you can actually go down. They have a stairway that you can. They didn't have a stairway then, but because what actually it looked like, and you can't see it because it's just so bright in here. But this is the when you walk in. There's a hole right there, and that's where they lowered Paul into. This was like kind of a maximum security prison, and they lower Paul into this hole, and he was down in this below, chained to the wall, and they'd also drop food down in there. So like if you wanted like a sandwich or whatever, they just throw food down into the hole. But that's where he was chained, and that's where he knew he would end his days. And Timothy, on the other hand, was in the church of Ephesus, and there was a lot of leaders, heretical teaching that was going on, but it was a tough ministry for Timothy. It was really hard for him, because we know that, again, Timothy was kind of by nature shy, kind of by timid a little bit, and Paul had left Timothy there to go, I want you to build up the church. I want you to make sure that there's no heretical teaching. I want you to make sure those leaders don't come back. I want you to hold up the church, teach the church, encourage the church. And Timothy is like, man, I'm a little bit scared. I'm a little bit frightened. I'm a little bit timid. And this is not how God made me. I don't have this strength, this power. And again, Paul's been telling Timothy, you know, it's not about you. Because it's the spirit that lives in you, the spirit of power, love, and discipline. Okay, so he's in this spot where he's kind of scared. So he's saying, Timothy, here's how you stay in it for the long haul. You're at Ephesus right now. You're a young guy. You're in your 30s. You're at this church. It's really tough. Here's how you stay in it. Here's how you stay in the ministry. Okay? So let's look at the first image. Let's look at the second verse. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. So he says, Timothy, don't take it all on you. Begin to train up others so that they'll also be able to teach the same things that you've heard me teach on, all right? Because we don't want you to just stay there. You've got to pass that on. Pass on the gospel. Pass on the message to others so they can also be teaching at this church in Ephesus. But then he goes into the first image, okay? Look at verse 3 and 4. It says, Timothy, endure hardship. with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Okay? So it's the image of a soldier. And it's kind of easy. What is Paul saying about this? What is he trying to give to Timothy?
Bravery.
Yeah, it's close. Where's found? There's two things that's found here. Two things, okay? Do you want to go ahead? Okay. Yeah, you're closer. You're closer. It's the key is like where it says there's two keys here. It says endure hardship, right? And then what you're talking about, Dylan, is don't get involved in civilian affairs, so like doing it for God only. But basically he's saying like, look, there's a soldier, right? The soldier is serving in the army, and a soldier needs to stay focused on his, her mission, right? Because there's other affairs that are going on. There's other things around. And when you think about it, like, man, if a soldier is in the middle, in the midst, if a U.S. soldier is in Afghanistan, engaged with Taliban, right? And, you know, if the soldier's behind a rock and there are bullets whizzing past a soldier, I mean, a soldier is not thinking about anything else. A soldier is not thinking about what they can find on Hulu that night or to update their status on Facebook, or I mean, they're not thinking about anything else. When they are engaged in their mission, a soldier has to be extremely focused. It cannot be distracted by other things. And that's Paul's point. One, to endure hardship, and two, to not allow yourself to be distracted. Because, for one, Timothy is in warfare. Timothy is in warfare. I mean, he's not carrying a gun, but when you have teachers who are leading in the wrong way for a church, and there is a spiritual battle going on, Paul is saying, Timothy, keep your head low and stay focused on what you're doing, right? And you guys, it's the same for us. We don't often feel it sometimes, but we are also in a warfare. I know a lot of people don't like that language, but it's biblical language, right? Flip over in your Bibles, okay? Flip back to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. So I can give you this kind of picture of a soldier staying focused. It says this, Ephesians chapter 6 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly realms. So, guys, I don't know if you think about this much, but there's another realm that's happening around us. It's what we see. There's things that what we see, and then there's unseen forces that's happening around us that want to pull you guys away, that want to pull you away from the things that God has for you. There is nothing more exciting for the enemy than to go, if I can distract this person, if I can distract this person, if I can distract Thomas from the things that God wants for him, I've won. Because he's not focused on what God has for him, right? And so we can't see it, but it's happening. And so, yeah, Paul's saying, you know, be focused. Don't get involved in these. Don't be distracted, right? Don't be involved in these other things. Don't be pulled away, right? So for example, I know that some of you, many times, maybe you've experienced this before, where you've committed yourself. You want to meet with the Lord. You have that heart. You're just like, I want to pull away. I want to meet with Him on a regular basis. I want to connect with you, God. And so you say to yourself, I'm going to get up early. I'm going to get up early and meet with the Lord. Or, I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter. At lunchtime, I'm going to meet with the Lord. And you go into your room. You go to a place where you said, I want to do this. And I want to meet with you, God. And you go and you kneel down and pray. But as you do it, a million other distractions come up, you know. You get a text on your phone, you know. My phone makes a bazillion sounds. I don't know if you guys, the smarter your phone is, it makes a ton of sounds. And what I find is, like, it makes various sounds. And so when I hear it, I automatically am like, you know, what did I get? You know, Facebook? Was it a, you know, whatever. You know, I have all these sounds going on. So there's times when I'm like, oh, I've got to learn to get away because there's a distraction there. I've seen a few people recently who've like totally wiped out their Facebook account mainly for the purpose of like studies. You know, they're like, I know I cannot study anymore because I'm on Facebook all the time. You know, I just cannot get away from it. And so I've seen people like, I'm not going to have a Facebook anymore. But wouldn't it be cool though if you're like, yeah, if that was a distraction and you really wanted to get connected into the Lord, where you either fasted from Facebook or you're like, if it means like getting closer to you, Lord, I'll like disconnect my account so that I can just not be distracted from the things that you have for me, right? Or don't be surprised when you guys go to college or leaving college now when, you know, there's Bible studies middle of the week or Friday night, and you have a test, you know, a paper due on Monday, and you've got Bible study on Friday, right? And, I mean, there's always that temptation to go, I have a paper due on Monday, and yet I've got Bible study here at college, you know, Friday night or whatever. And the temptation is like, I can't afford it, God. I can't do it. I've got to finish this paper, you know? But I'm telling you, if we look at what God has for us, the big picture, man, he's got things for you. He's got ministry for you. And again, if the evil one can use, if you put academics too high up above the Lord, if you put it, there's nothing wrong with academics, there's nothing wrong with sports, there's nothing wrong with any of this stuff. It's only when it goes above God and when the evil one can use it to just gently pull you away from him, he's won, okay? Or he's trying to win. Or for those who work, like, man, I don't know, Richard, maybe you can talk with you a little bit about this. I know, like, after on a Friday, if you've worked 5 days, I talked with Kevin about this too. It's like it's Friday and you've worked 5 days. You put in 40 plus hours, and a lot of times, post college into single life, you know, you've got like a study again on Friday night, and you're just tired. You're extra tired on a Friday night, and you're just like, I just don't feel like going into a community. I just want to sit on the TV, just sit and watch TV, and just veg. That's all I want to do, you know. But again, Paul tells Timothy, don't be distracted, you guys. Don't let yourself be distracted. If you want to go the long haul, don't let yourself be distracted. Okay? That's the first thing. Second image that he gives is real quick succession. He just kind of goes image after image after image. He says, similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules, okay? All right, so last week I shared about Olympian Lolo Jones, you know, and she was a hurdler, and I was talking about being unashamed, and Lolo Jones was just unashamed. You know, she tweeted, like, I'm not praying for gold. I never will pray for gold. My prayer is, first and foremost, is that I honor him, that I inspire and honor him whenever I do and as I run. So it was really cool to hear her story, and I read a little bit more about her this past week. But this is a different story. This guy's name is, did anyone hear this? I asked you guys if you raised your hand, and it's like, yeah, I know Lolo Jones. You know who this is?
He's a karate.
True. That's true. Yep. Judo. Judo, actually. Judo, karate. You know. Anyone ever hear this guy? Probably not. Go ahead, Dylan. Do you know? He did not. Different guy then. Different guy. This guy. He went to London. Okay, so he competed and he beat opponents from Hong Kong and Belgium. But unfortunately for Nick, different story than Lolo's is that he was disqualified, actually, by the International Olympic Committee because he didn't compete according to the rules. Did you hear about him? Yeah. So what happened? You're right. You're exactly right. So what happened with Nick is that he failed a drug test for cannabis, right? For pot, and he said his positive testing was caused. He said it was caused by my inadvertent consumption of food that I didn't realize had been baked with marijuana. It's tough. I don't know. Has that ever happened to you guys? You ever inadvertently just popped a brownie with marijuana in it, just, or maybe you went to, oh, it's awful. It would be awful, wouldn't it? Yeah. I mean, I've never gone to like Starbucks and had a muffin and it had marijuana in it. It happened. So I don't know. It's kind of, I don't know, you guys, I don't know if it's legit. I don't know if his thing is, it's kind of a shaky excuse. But anyways, Nick, I mean, he trained for four years to get to London, and he was disqualified because he didn't compete according to the rules, you know? When I read some of his interviews, he says that he was looking forward to, now that he finished and was sent home, back to America, he said that he was looking forward to a change of pace from the always train life that he was living. It sounded like Nick was, one of the things it sounded like is that Nick was kind of burned out. It sounds like he trained pretty hard. He said, don't get me wrong, like speaking about the next Olympics, don't get me wrong, I would still practice and train and compete in judo, but not as intense or as much as I am now. But in 2014, I would start preparing for the 2016 Olympics again. So he's like, I just don't want to train. I'm just tired. It sounds like he's just like, I'm just sick of judo. I'm just tired of intense training. The thing is with Nick is like, it's similar to us in that like, I think the Christian walk, as we look at this passage, the Christian walk is not easy, you guys. It's just not. There's going to be times when it's hard to walk with the Lord Jesus, if it's not already for you. But it's going to be hard. And you're going to get fatigued at times. You're going to feel like you're, like Nick, he was an athlete who was training, but he got burned out. And unfortunately, some athletes, they're like, okay, they don't compete according to the rules because they juice up, right? They juice up, and so they can get stronger, they get faster, they whatever. Nick, he didn't juice up. He kind of, like, wanted to escape or just wanted to, like, or ate a wrong brownie or something. But he needed to, you know, like, so there's a time when you just don't want to continue on. You get fatigued in your walk. And you may experience this in your life. But what Paul says is, don't disqualify in those times, Timothy, you're in a hard spot right now, but in those times, don't do something foolish where you compete against outside the rules. Don't disqualify yourself. So it means that when you're fatigued, like, don't give in to dishonesty, don't give in to greed, don't give in to selfishness, because we become tired, and there's a lot of times when we're tired, we just want to pull in. We just want to close ranks. I just want to pull out. I want to pull out of the church. I just want to, like, stop serving. I just want to, like, just be. And there are times, right? There are times when we need to be rested. There are times when we just need to rest in the Lord, right? But he's talking about when you pull out and you stay out. and you just, you don't rest in the Lord, you rest in other things, right? Or you fall in some way because you're just fatigued. So for you guys, competing outside the rules may come in different forms. So here's what I've seen in those who kind of grow up in the church sometimes. This is what happens sometimes. How it would look like to compete outside the rules is sometimes when you grow up in the church, you go to college, and what you just kind of naturally want to do sometimes is you just want to, like, experiment, right? You want to go, like, okay, I've gone to the church since I was 4 years old, and this is what I've known for my whole life, and so I just want to get out and I want to try things. Because when I look at the life of the world, sometimes it looks fun. Sometimes it looks more appealing than the life that I've been given. And so sometimes what happens is competing outside the rules for you would be, I'm just going to go experiment and leave Jesus behind and, like, go out and live the life of just living it up, you know, just live the life of the world. But yet you can be in that time you can be disqualified, you guys. You can be like, you just keep on moving that direction. You can be disqualified. You can lose what you were aiming to do in the end, right? Or it could look like this. I mean, it could come in the form of competing outside the rules could come in the form of peer pressure. Because our culture around us will say, like, come and join us. They'll say, come and drink with us. Come and, like, have fun with us. Come, like, just for a moment. Come outside of your religion. Come on, don't take it so seriously. Come outside of your faith and just join us, right? Right? I had it in college. I had two groups. I had guys on my floor that I'd hang out with quite a bit, and I enjoy them. Still enjoy them. Still connected with them. But I remember times in college, they're like, come on, Brady, like, just, you know, we go camping or whatever. Come on, let's do what we want to do, you know? But, again, don't compete outside the rules. If you want to go for the long haul, if you want to stay with Jesus for the long haul and endure hardship, don't compete outside the rules, okay? Here's the next one. Okay? Look at verse 6. So we've had two pictures so far. We've had a good soldier, we've had an athlete, and here comes the last one. It's verse 6. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight to this. All right, so you guys, I don't know if you know this, but my dad grew up on a potato farm. My grandfather was a potato farmer in the great state of what? No, that's corn.
Idaho.
Yes, Idaho. Could try though. We'll start with an I. But yes, so my grandfather was a potato farmer and farmed for years and actually hated it. So he actually quit after a while and went into a job as a weed supervisor, where he would just take care of the weeds for the county, try to get rid of all the weeds for all the farmers. As a kid, I heard, I saw a lot of pictures, saw pictures of my dad and his brother's grandpa on the farm, potato farm. I saw a few videos, a short film of my dad, you know, on the farm, and I heard lots of stories of potato farming and just being on the farm. And there's something kind of attractive to it, but what I hear is that with farming, is that for quite some time, like when they would plant the spuds, so they plant the little, like the mini potatoes in the ground, and for quite some time, you don't see anything. I mean, you prepare the soil, you plant things in, you take care of it, but for quite some time, it's a lot of work, and apparently you don't see much of anything going on. And for Timothy, Paul is encouraging him to go, look, you're in Ephesus right now, and it is tough work to to remain loyal to the ministry. It's tough work to remain loyal to Jesus Christ right now, because you Timothy, you may not see anything going on, and it may be hard for quite some time. But Paul says to Timothy, be like the hardworking farmer. Even though it's a long time coming, you want to be there for the harvest, Timothy. You want to be there. You want to stick through it all. You want to stay with him, even though you don't feel anything, even though you don't experience anything, because a lot of times our culture is looking for, like, I want some good feeling now from you, God. I want some good experience from you now, God. I don't feel anything. You need to, you know, I need to feel something right now. But Paul's telling Timothy, no, you don't see it, you don't feel it right now, but stick with the ministry. Stay with Jesus Christ. Stay loyal to the ministry. Stay loyal to Jesus Christ, okay? And that's what we need to do, you guys. You get the feeling that as you look at these three images, that walking with Jesus, staying loyal to him through the entirety of your life is hard work. And I would be remiss if I said to you guys that no, it's just kicking up your feet. You can just relax, right? I mean, I look around the world, and look at things that's going on in the countries around us, and it is now, and it will be hard work to stay with him in our culture. And it's going to get tougher, I think. It's going to get tougher based on what we're kind of seeing happening in history right now. And so that's maybe why Paul takes a break from Timothy. He's like, here's these three images that I want you to have so you can just keep on walking. But he takes a break from it. You guys look with me in the couple of verses that we'll just kind of buzz through real quick. Verse 8, he takes a break from the images and says, here's the best motivation, and here's the best way that can help you. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, okay? So when it comes down to it, Timothy, when you're cut to the bone, Timothy, you're dead tired, you're discouraged, is all get out, Timothy, go back, remember Jesus Christ, okay? Remember how you were saved. Remember when you were a young guy, knew your mom, your grandmother, right? And you didn't know the Lord. You came from a kind of a faith-filled family. But remember Jesus Christ and you were saved. And remember he was raised from the dead. Remember that that the power that's behind you, Timothy, is someone being raised from the dead. Like, have you seen that kind of power before? Do you know what kind of power is behind you to keep you enduring? I don't know anyone who has the power to raise someone from the dead. That's the power that's behind you to help you guys to keep walking, keep enduring, even when you're discouraged and doubtful beyond all get out, right? So he reminds him, he talks about his own ministry. This is my gospel for which I'm suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. It's going to continue on, Timothy. Like, the gospel is still going to keep going. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Man, the gospel is just going to keep going. Whether you're, Timothy, you can be used to keep the gospel moving out or not, but the gospel will continue outward. It can't be stopped because God is in charge. God is huge. God is big. God is all-powerful. And then he gives Timothy one last truth, right? One last truth here in verse 11 through the end of our passage for today. He says, here's a trustworthy saying. Here's a truth that you can hold on to. If we died with him, we can also live with him. If we endure, we can also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So he gives, here's Timothy, here's the reward. Here's what can keep you motivated, that if you die with him, if you give your life away with him, for him, with him, he will also raise you up with him, right? the end is like when we're all in heaven, you guys, and we're all like, hey, we made it. We're living with him. This is the life that we've been waiting for in the end. And we'll all look at each other and be like, oh, guys, we made it. He helped us make it all the way through. We're like, oh, this is a time to celebrate. This is a time to just praise. This is a time to worship. If you endure with him, if you go through the hardship, you will also reign with him. In the new creation, we'll reign, we'll co-reign with Jesus Christ. We'll co-reign with him. But he says, if you disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. All right? So again, you talk about the parables. There's the parable, the first one, the first soil, there was no chance. Like, the seed was sown out, the gospel was sown, never even accepted it, never even had a chance. The other two, like, took it, and, like, the gospel was squeezed out by the pressures and distractions of this world. And he says, if you disown, then I will also disown you. But then, in verse 13, it sounds kind of strange. It almost sounds like a kind of a contradiction. If we are faithless, we will also remain faithful with him. We cannot disown himself. And you guys, there's kind of various opinions on this last portion. But basically, it's like this. Even though we will stumble sometimes, even though our faith will waver, God can never break faith with us because he can't disown himself, right? He can't disown himself. So there will be times when we kind of waver. But because Christ is in us, he's going to carry us to the end. He can't disown himself if he truly lives in us, right? If he truly lives in us. But the message for today, you guys, is to move through these times in life that maybe you're in now, maybe you haven't experienced, but definitely all of us will experience. Move through life with some of these images in your head, right? To endure hardship and just not get distracted. Stay focused on what God has for you. To compete according to the rules, right? And to stay with them even if you don't feeling anything. I don't feel anything with God. I don't feel experiencing. Stay with him, okay? Stay with him. Why don't we close in prayer? And we can respond in song. We've got a few announcements. Spirit, we give thanks to you that you're the one. The verse says that it's in the grace of Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. And so we give thanks to you for the grace, the part that we on our own would not continue walking with you. We on our own would throw in the towel. We on our own would become easily distracted and lose what you have for us. But in your grace, by the power of the Spirit given to us in Christ Jesus, we can continue to move forward. We can continue to walk the walk. We can continue to mature and grow up in you. We continue to carry on the message of the gospel outward. So Lord, we give thanks to you for this encouragement. And Father, I pray that you would, now I pray that for the church, pray for our group that you would protect us from distraction, protect us from the evil one who wants to pull us away and draw us away from you so we miss you. Thank you that you have the power to do so. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.